Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, into the 11 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold with you. Nick Schwert as well.
What's so funny?
Not fired yet. This is good. And Jay Binkley in for Cody Tapp today. Text line, we appreciate the text as always, especially with the brand new phone number on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7610. A lot of people disappointed, Nick. They did some research like you were doing. They said they weren't impressed. I'll just leave it at that.
I didn't say she was drop-dead gorgeous. I'm just relaying information.
They were not all that impressed. Coming up in about 10 minutes or so, we'll get to some whether or not we actually are buying that's being said by those in the Royals organization, in particular when it comes to two players. So we'll get to that in just a little bit. But yesterday when Andy Reid spoke, once again, the Chiefs got a question about Orlando Brown Jr. Hey, what's the progress, Bink? Where are things at on a potential extension for Orlando Brown Jr., who the Chiefs placed the franchise tag on? He has not signed it. He doesn't have to sign it yet. They have till July 14th, 15th, I keep forgetting which day it is, to actually get a long-term deal. Then otherwise, the only thing he can do is play on the franchise tag, which right now, 16-point-something million dollars is what we're looking at for Orlando Brown Jr. And it is only May 27th, so I'm not in, oh my gosh, never going to happen, panic mode, they can't get it done. But I think it's like, to what point do you think the Chiefs are annoyed? Because it is something they've been talking about since the season ended. Like, we know this is going to be one of our top priorities. We traded for Orlando Brown Jr. a year ago. It was made very clear by Orlando Brown Jr.'s mentor that he wants to be paid as the highest left tackle, highest paid left tackle in football. And so here we are, though, and if you believe that it's also delayed them doing other things, they got to be at least a little annoyed, right? But at what point does it become a problem?
I think it already is starting to become that problem, because the thing about it is, how long do you need to wait? How long do you need to wait? He hangs out in Miami. Drew Rosenhaus is, by the way, there, who's the king of getting people money. And he's represented guys, he likes quarterbacks, but he's represented guys like Warren Sapp and other linemen in the past. But get the deal done and get it signed, because like, what are you waiting for? I just thought when you saw this windfall, he had to feel fortunate where he is. I mean, he's a third-round pick. You remember at the combine, he put up like 14 bench press reps. It was terrible for a lineman. And, you know, he's gotten a break. He was, you know, good. I guess he started the Pro Bowl, but he was really good at right tackle until Baltimore moved him to left. Then he had to learn that new offense here in Kansas City. Seems to be gelling with the offensive line fine, but he kind of knows the Chiefs are stuck. So maybe that's why he's not in a hurry.
He's clearly not in a hurry. I mean,
like if Kennard was okay, they drafted Kennard in the second round, and mm-hmm. he's got left tackle, but they're thinking about moving the right tackle. Or if the Chiefs went out and said, all right, Eric Fisher, come on back here for a year till we can figure out what's going on. But the thing is, he holds the cards. He's got the leverage.
He does. He absolutely does, not only because they gave up a first-round pick for him a year ago, but also, yeah, if you look, I mean, do they have a, you know, I think Pete Sweeney described it best, like a break glass in case of emergency plan. Yeah, I mean, in that scenario, Bink, they probably could move Joe Tooney over to left tackle, and they believe they have enough on the interior that they can make something like that work. That's if, like, worst case scenario.
Or sign Eric Fisher because you can get him cheap, and he did play here for a long time.
Just to have another option. Yeah,
and
I mean,
he's still available. He was relatively healthy last year with the Colts. So
I mean, the only thing, though, like, I don't think it ever gets to that point, even if they don't get an extension done, Bink, because $16 million is still on the line at minimum for him. Right? I mean, he's not sitting out the season.
Because then you get
it doesn't make any sense anymore. The way the CBA is set up now, you don't really sit out.
Well, here's
anymore.
The one thing about sitting out when you're passing up on $15 or $16 million. Yeah, you want more, but do you know how long it takes to recoup that money if you ever do? Like, you can make whatever contract, but then you still have to find a way to recoup.
Yeah, you never get it back.
That's $16 million you left on the table. So you can sign other contracts going forward, but the money that you lost by not playing will always haunt you. I think it gets done, but again, we're getting ready for June here. It's getting real close to July 15th.
Yeah, I think once you get inside 30 days is when I'll start getting a little more concerned that it doesn't happen. Because we all know deadlines spur action, and we're still, if you're Orlando Brown Jr. and Andy Reid mentioned that they've been in contact, and Patrick Mahomes says they talk every day, he's down in Florida working out, so the belief is that he's not going to come up, you know, and not be in shape. They think he's still working out. Every indication is he is. But I still just go back from that statement that his mentor in an interview, I guess, put out to NFL Network months ago. And at that time, he was already giving us some insight that he was in no rush to show back up to Kansas City. He was going to take his time and enjoy the weather somewhere else.
Well, you know, you see all these guys, you know, that want to be here. And I understand the tag guys don't want to show up because they don't have to. I mean, none of these guys,
true,
quote, have to show up. And he did last year to all the OTAs and stuff. They didn't have to, but he still showed up to them last year to get ready for this new offense. So that was appreciated. But he should be a hot commodity with agents. They should want to represent him because that left tackle money. And
that's what's weird.
That's what's weird is because he's a hot commodity for agents. Because, you know, yeah, he was a third-round pick, but right now he's starting Pro Bowl left tackle in the Kansas City Chiefs need him. I'm just surprised more agents are swirling around this. Not only that, you're costing yourself money. You're costing yourself money in endorsements and everything else. The agent could work on deals for you, get things going forward. And, like, he's losing out on some of that, too.
Don't you think that maybe the issue, other than not being in any rush, not having an agent currently, is it because his own expectations are not realistic? Now, I don't know how that works typically. An agent obviously wants to get as much money for their client as possible as well. That goes without saying.
And they are at a record pace.
Yeah. But is it that perhaps even some of his demands are not as realistic? Or is he just kind of, I don't want to use the word lazy, but just like, just doesn't have any, just not in any rush. Not in any rush to get anything done. He knows the deadline. Everybody knows the deadline for a long-term deal. It's mid-July. And he's sitting around, well, it's not even Memorial Day. It's Memorial Day weekend. I got plenty of time. Is that where he's at? Because if I'm the Chiefs, I'm annoyed, though.
I sincerely hope it happens before the mandatory minicamp. These OTAs, fine, whatever. But the mandatory minicamp, I really hope that, because that's the last hurrah before you start training camp. That's the last hurrah of everybody getting together. You're building that chemistry. You're going forward. Yes, this offensive line is going to be the same offensive line that we're used to playing with each other last year. Right tackle's the only mystery right now for the Kansas City Chiefs, is something not set with the offensive line. But yeah, I mean,
do you think he plays on the tag this year? Do you think they get a long-term deal done again at July? It's July 15th. It's a Tuesday, I think, at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon or something.
I mean, the way it's working looks like the tag, because I mean, just let's say he goes out and gets an agent tomorrow, mm-hmm, or next week. These things take time. These negotiations takes weeks and weeks and weeks. So yeah, there's a great chance he plays on the tag, which is weird because tag's $16 million, but the tag is for everybody. Left tackles, left guards, right guards, centers, right tackles. Like, everybody in the offensive line, the tag number is the same. And I always thought left tackle tag should be higher,
I would agree,
than the rest of them, but it's not. And we'll see if he's playing that to his advantage. But, you know, you see guys on this team like Kelce. It says, you know, I'm still playing even without that money. You get all these receivers that went down to Texas to form that bond, get that chemistry with Patrick Mahomes. And they're saying the right things and doing the right things. And they're excited. It would just help to have him be a part of this deal too.
Yeah, this is what Patrick Mahomes had to say about just how close the offensive line unit is.
Yeah, I mean, you see the offensive line. You can see the difference already. I mean, it's clear. Those guys are like one unit, man. They're always together. They go to different events together. They eat dinners like once a week. I mean, they're if you talk about offensive line in a unit, I mean, that's what it is. And that's why they did so well last year, and they'll continue to do well. And Orlando, I talked to him like at least once a week. I mean, he's a guy that loves football. There's no doubt about that. And that off the field stuff, I mean, that happens in every organization, every team. But I know he wants to be here. He wants to be a Kansas City Chief. And I mean, he wants to be on that football field more than anybody.
So their belief is that he still wants to be in Kansas City. We will obviously find out by July 15th if, in fact, a long-term deal happens. Because if he is playing on the tag, then that opens up everything again. You're wondering about potential trade scenarios and otherwise, because you're in a position there where next offseason, then you might be looking for another left tackle.
I will say one of the beauties of the trade was if we're able to get pick 58 from the Ravens, which
ended up being the Creed Humphrey pick, right? Nick Bolton pick. So
at least they have, they do have that. Text line says trade him, move Tooney to left tackle.
I've seen that a lot.
I don't want to see Tooney at left tackle, and he's a guard. That's what he is. And let's not forget he had 32-inch arms. I know this is ridiculous. Orlando Brown's 35. I mean, Tooney, say what you want about long arms or whatever, but that does come into play when you're a tackle. So keep him more.
What happened is people saw, what was it, 3/4 of Joe Tooney at left tackle?
Yeah,
and so now there's this assumption that he can play left tackle full time. There's a big difference.
He's a guard.
Yeah, there's a big difference playing 3/4 versus playing a full 17
games. That's where he excels. That's his position. Don't move him out of position. Keep you where you're good.
We'll get into some more Chiefs during the Chiefs Red Half Hour coming up at 11:30, as we always do here on Cody and Gold. So the Kansas City Star had to call him out this morning, I guess it would have been, about talking about the Royals and like what's next, right? When the Royals finally won last night, they snapped the 6-game losing streak. They're playing the Twins again tonight. We'll see what happens throughout the weekend from that perspective. But as we've discussed, the young pieces that are in AAA right now, and one in particular that's hitting, why not just call them up? And in the story today in the Star, it mentions, quote, the Royals scouts simply don't think Prado and Pasquantino are ready quite yet. Which, if we step back and hear what we've discussed from J.J. Piccolo or Dane Moore and other than really everybody around baseball, which is what, Bink? The gap between AAA and Major League Baseball is wider than it's ever been. Nobody disputes that. That's not just the Royals. That's widely known and discussed. Okay. So if that's the case, when I hear the Royals scouts simply don't think Prado and Pasquantino are ready. Now, Nick Prado hasn't been great this year in AAA. Now, Vinny Pasquantino has been just ridiculous, off the chart statistically.
Getting better.
Okay. If the gap is as wide as it is, why wouldn't you let those guys come up to the majors and see really where they're at and develop at the big league level? Because guess what? There's a chance we talk about Vinny Pasquantino and we think about what he might be. Let's find out what he is. There's a chance, Big, that he's not anything. But we're going to wait around for months and months and hope and pray that he is something. Let's find out at the big league level, because the AAA level, we're all being told, is such a wide gap from Major League Baseball more than ever before. So what good is it doing if he keeps going? You went 5-for-5 the other day?
Like, is it Pasquantino?
Yeah.
5-for-7.
5-for-7. Like,
$2.
That's great. Dominating AAA. But if the gap is what everybody says it is, then let's see it at the big league level. Now, why is it really not happening? We know why. Because they've got multiple players that are blocking them still. Carlos Santana. And what are they waiting for? Are they hoping and just wishing, Bink, that his trade value goes up?
Well, we're getting really close to June 1st. June 1st is kind of the cutoff day with me. You are what you are at June 1st.
Oh, yeah, they're already with
you. And you make the decision to move on. The thing about it is what is this team realistically? Is it a playoff team? No. So would you rather lose with some of these younger guys and see a potential, or would you rather lose with some of the guys that are still here? That's the thing, and I hate to do that. You hate to wave the white flag, but you have to understand what you have. Not only that, the young guys might spark something. I know I get excited when Bobby Witt Jr. does something or Brady Singer's doing something. You know what? That doesn't matter. If Brady Singer was doing this up in AAA right now, like they'd kept him up there longer and he was doing this, you have no hope. But he's doing it at the major league level, and that's exciting. You know, seeing Melendez come down here and pop home runs out, he's doing it at the major league level, even though he hit 167 in Omaha. So if you're going to lose with them, let them lose here, because if not, you're holding back another year of development. So then all of a sudden, the 2023 season you go into, and you don't know what they're going to be. They're going to be rookies. They're going to be fresh. They're going to see major league pitching at the first time, and they're going to struggle. And that's going to set your development back any further. But if they come up here, get their feet wet, go through the failures the baseball brings, game of failures, and learn here instead of dominating at AAA. Pescatino going out and killing AAA pitching doesn't help at this point.
Nope.
Where do you know what he can do?
Yeah, we know he can dominate AAA. That's what we know.
We know the answer.
Mm-hmm.
And Coar can too. But you also know he can't dominate Major League. And that's the problem. With those guys, you don't know if they can dominate at the Major League level. With Coar, you do.
Yeah, I mean, look, Vinny's a little bit different too. I mean, JJ did bring up something, which is that if he's not on the 40-man roster, so there's some more issues with him being brought up versus Nick Prado. But again, until they clear the deck at the majors, and I'm talking about eventually moving on from Santana, likely trading Andrew Benintendi. You name whoever else you think. I mean, Scott, plenty of people be waiting for Scott Barlow. He was unbelievable last night again. He's been unbelievable for a couple of years. Like, you know, you can get something for him as well. Like, in general, until they start moving pieces, specifically on the offensive side, I don't think we're seeing either of those two guys up, Bink, because they're unless they move some of the guys that are blocking their spots on the roster to where they're going to get playing time, I don't think Nick Prado or Vinny are actually getting called up until that happens. If you told me tomorrow that Santana was finally moved, they moved on from him, then okay, then it opens up a possibility for one of those guys to be called up. Until then, I just don't see that happening. So I don't buy the full-on comment that necessarily that they're not ready, as much as it is they're not ready because they don't have a spot for them, because they're not ready to actually pull the trigger on the season fully and trading away some guys, when I think we all know in reality where they're actually at as an organization. Up until the win last night, thank goodness they won last night, it would have been seven straight losses, Bink, and they would have had the same amount of wins they did for a couple hours, the same amount of wins as the Cincinnati Reds. The Reds started the season 3-22. That the Royals for a couple hours had the same amount of wins as the Reds, who started 3-22 and have been the laughingstock of baseball.
It was. And I remember when J.J. Piccolo joined you guys this week and was talking about Pescatino in Prado, and he was talking about July for them, wasn't he?
He said he didn't want to put a timeline on it, but he didn't. It sure didn't sound like it was anytime soon.
But it sounds like they will be here this summer. So that's something good.
Again, that's until they move. So we know the trade deadline is what, July 31?
August 2nd this year.
Because August 2nd,
I think, well, it's supposed to be July 31st. I think they moved it back to August 2nd because of the
delayed start of the season.
Yeah. Could be wrong, but I think that's what it is. Like, they did move it back just a little bit. But, yeah, JJ was talking about that and said that, we may see him here by the summer. But I understand the big gap because they consolidated everything. You don't have the same talent you used to have in AAA that you had in the year before. But when guys are up there dominating, Dade Moore used to say it too. He says, guys will tell you when they're ready. Guys will tell you. You don't have to ask them. They will tell you when they're ready. Vinny's showing he's ready. Like, he is telling them that he's ready. Prado, cut down on the strikeouts a little bit. Then we can see you're ready. So that's what... Go ahead and see it.
Coming up in 10 minutes, we'll get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour, but let's get to the trash of the day.
Trash of the day.
All right, so we go to this one. This has to do with a trial that was going on out in Oregon, Bank. And there was an author of a book, How to Murder Your Husband. Okay? And Bank, she just was found guilty of murdering her husband. Does this increase the book sales, hurt the book sales? What's your take on this?
Well, I don't think it was a book. I think it was an online essay.
Okay, whatever.
Well, I think that more than anything else, it probably wasn't a good crime for her to commit, given her...
It says romance novelist who wrote How to Murder Your Husband.
But it talked about specific ways to get away with it.
Mm-hmm. There used to be a TV show called How to Get Away with Murder. On ABC.
For this woman, I'm pretty sure she got found guilty, right? So she just shot the guy too. She shot him. And they said that they caught her on camera leaving the house and then coming back to the culinary school.
Yes, he was shot at the culinary
school. So like she was objectively terrible at murdering her husband. Well, I mean, she did it. She was effective in doing so, but she was terrible at getting away with it.
It says the prosecutors argue the couple was struggling with debt. Her self-published novels were not big sellers, and that his death could have left her with more than $1 million in life insurance policies. And there's where
she'll get none of it now.
Well, yeah, I mean, she's done. She's done. She's done for it. She's done. She's 71 years old, and she was facing a minimum of 25 years in prison after her sentencing.
Done. I don't think it's going to sell any books.
I don't know. People are crazy.
I just don't get, like, how you can be so arrogant to the point that you're going to write essays on how to get away with murder, and then you don't even know how to get away with it.
I mean, the text line brings up a fair point from the 913. It says, I mean, technically, it didn't say how to murder your husband and not go to prison. It didn't have that as, like, it didn't have that in small print as well.
Yeah,
it
but just... the article said, like, she highlighted, if you have a desire to away with it, then you can get away with it. You just, it's like, you have to be very detailed.
Was
what
this
you're
a well known thing? I mean, this happened in 2018, but it's just now the she was finally convicted.
I mean, no, I don't think she was a very successful author.
Otherwise, she probably wouldn't do this.
Probably wouldn't have to kill her husband to get money.
Yikes.
If you had to kill somebody, how'd you do it, Alex?
Let's not have that conversation. That seems like a terrible thing to discuss this week.
Yeah, I agree.
Let's not do that.
I agree.
Probably not a great idea, Nicholas.
It's a trick question.
Probably not a great idea.
You passed it.
That is the trash of the day. Jake, how you doing? You got, what do we got over here?
It's lemonade.
What's going on over there, Bing?
Yeah, like what's
going
on?
Something's happening
over
there.
Yeah, I'm confused. You got, I mean, there's the normal chew
stuff. No energy drinks, you know?
No energy drink, but there's the chew, but there's push.
You expressed your dismay in not being able to have energy drinks.
Yeah, I don't like it because I enjoyed them a lot. And I had to quit cold turkey.
But you can still, have a little caffeine, right?
Yeah, yeah, about once a week.
Have you hit your
quota? Yeah, I was going to say, have you already done that?
This morning I did, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Quota's met. I saved it for you, Alex.
I appreciate that.
I saved it just for you.
I mean, that's good. We got a lot of people still asking on the text line, the new text line, about a message they get back. Yes, we know. If you're getting a message back when you text the new number, 913-586-7610, is it going through? Yes. Yes, it still goes through. They're working on the back end to get
until
that
you're
fixed,
blocked, and then it doesn't.
But if that's the case, you're still good. They're just working on it. But that is the correct number. If you text the old number, we don't see any of your stuff anymore. It's 913-586.
Is that a fact? Or I thought we were getting both, maybe.
I don't believe so anymore.
Okay, so 586.
Yep.
When Cody gets back, since he hasn't been here for the new text line.
Or the phones. We took a lot of phone calls yesterday, Bink. We don't normally do that.
You know how in commercials, a lot of times they'll say the number at the end of the commercial in a jingle? We could have Cody write a jingle about the new text line. That way,
the 913-586-7610
catchy, it would stick in people's head.
This is true. I mean, it's just one digit off.
Well, I'm not
going
to give them any pub, but we all know the old jingle that used to play on this station that had the number at the end. I don't want to sing it because it's free publicity.
And you want the pizza place?
No.
Oh, because still a jingle. There's a pizza jingle with a phone number that I still remember quite a bit from college.
I'm talking about the air conditioning place.
Oh. Gotcha.
So why did we change? Do we just like eight better than
you
sevens?
Know what I'm that was effective.
Yeah. I'm thinking of the pizza one.
Well, we can do that because they don't have any. They don't have one here, do they?
They do.
Why did we change those? Seriously, Alex. Why did we change?
What's that?
The company like eights instead of sevens?
I have no idea why. The whole building, everybody's
number
changed by a digit.
We got caller ID now, so...
Yeah, we can tell who's calling, so we can see anytime you call in or text, we get
that's
your
right.
name.
By the way, that's my favorite
there
feature.
There are a few of you who are so screwed now.
Yeah, that's my favorite feature.
Yeah, we got your name, so if you call in with a different name, we got it.
You guys are done.
But not only that, somebody eventually is going to end up with 913-576-7610, our old number, as their cell phone. Because now that number's probably up for grabs, so someone's going to be getting 610.
I don't know. We were talking about that off air. We're like, if someone ever one day gets 913 the 576 number, then yeah, that's going to suck for them. Because right now, there's people that have been out of town all week.
Yeah, I'd like to talk Mahomes.
Early start on Memorial Day weekend, and good for you. But there are people that come back next week and have no idea about the number, which is why you're going to hear us for the next month continually tell you about 913-586-7610. All right, coming up next, we'll get back to Chiefs football, the Chiefs red half hour, something that Bink found wide receiver-wise that's interesting about how Mahomes is going to be trying to do something differently than the rest of the quarterbacks we usually bring up in that elite category.
You're listening to Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2.
How hairy is your back? You got hair on your back. I got zero hair. I've got like two chest hairs. How much chest hair do you have?
As I'm taking my shirt off. Let's do this another time.
On 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Chiefs Red Half Hour, every day at 11:30 on Cody and Gold.
Chiefs Red Half Hour brought to you by E. Edwards Workwear, the right fit for work, eeworkwear.com. Hope you're having a good Friday. Alex Gold, Nick Schwert, Jay Binkley in for Cody Tapp. So, Bink, you were looking at what Pro Football Focus had put out when it comes to rankings and tiers for wide receivers, and there was something you noticed that puts Mahomes in a little bit different category with what he's trying to accomplish compared to some of the other elite quarterbacks in the league.
Yeah, the other elite quarterbacks have a guy on the list. Tier one, Pro Football Focus has, and I don't think there's any argument with these. Devontae Adams, one. Cooper Kupp, two. DeAndre Hopkins, three. Stephon Diggs, four. Tyreek Hill, five. I think that's out of order a little bit. I'd put Tyreek Hill.
The five are right, though, right? The five
yeah,
are right.
There's five best receivers, yeah. But I have Tyreek Hill at least three.
I got to move Hopkins down because the guy missed six games last year, going to miss six games this year.
So I don't think so. Not with them. Then, of course, they've got Ja'Marr Chase in the list, Justin Jefferson, Mike Evans. Then they've got the tier two young talent on the cusp of tier one. Debo, A.J. Brown, D.K. Metcalf, C.D. Lamb, T. Higgins, Terry McLaurin. Then there's a tier three.
Veterans Higgins and Terry back. McLaurin on the same level?
Chris Godwin, Michael Thomas, Allen Robinson, Keenan Allen, Adam Thielen, Julio Jones. I don't know why Julio Jones is still on here. Done. Yeah. Odell Beckham done. And then a tier four, maybe not elite, but high quality pass catchers like Amari Cooper, Tyler Lockett, Mike Williams. I think Williams should be higher than what he is here in the tier four. DJ Moore, Brandon Cooks. The moral of the story is here, and even the up-and-comers, there's not one chief. There's not one chief. So you don't think about best passing offense in the NFL. You're thinking the Kansas City Chiefs. They're always right up there, one, two, or three passing offense in the NFL. They've got an elite quarterback in Patrick Mahomes. And it is interesting, they're going into a season, you know, without really any of the top 32 wide receivers at this point. Guys that can try to get on this list and have a bounce back, like a Juju. I could see Juju ending up on this list at some point if he had his year like he did a couple of years ago. Now, Sky Moore is the one that you hope gets on here as an up-and-coming guy, an up-and-coming guy that can make the list. It's just interesting because they're actually going in the season without that top-tier receiver, and I get it. Travis Kelce is the best pass catcher on the
team. That equalizes it, yeah.
But some of these other teams have great tight ends.
But does it equalize it?
I do. I think it helps.
Well, Darren Waller's with the Raiders, but Devontae Adams is the number one receiver.
How differently are the Chiefs going to have to utilize Travis Kelce, or how different is his role going to look without Tyreek Hill?
Yeah, because of how much he already had lined up off of the tight end spot to begin with, I don't know how much it actually does change. Right now, the issue we ran into last year when we were talking about on the show was when Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill couldn't get open in a certain circumstance. There was nobody else, like D-Rob, Pringle, Josh Gordon. There were times if you go back and look, there were guys who were like, where was he supposed to throw? Because of how teams were playing him, and they didn't have other guys that could get open. I think the hope is that Juju or MVS or Sky Moore, better route runners perhaps than some of the 3-4-5 receivers they had, and Mecole Hardman, I guess, for that matter, 3-4-5 than what they had a year ago. Like, I do think it equals it out a little bit. Like, if we're going through and we're saying, man, Joe Burrow's got himself a Jamar Chase, who does Patrick Mahomes have? Jamar Chase is incredible. But I don't think it's like, oh my gosh, end of the world type of scenario when, oh yeah, I forgot he has Travis Kelce. We get done all the time talking how Travis Kelce should be viewed as a wide receiver, how he puts up better numbers than a wide receiver. The only reason why they were able to even trade Tyreek Hill is because they had someone in Travis Kelce that they felt good about. Right? If they don't have Travis Kelce, we know they don't ever trade Tyreek Hill. And this is why it's important for them to develop some other guys, because despite what, you know, Cody and I go back and forth on this, there will be a day where Travis Kelce is no longer the same Travis Kelce. I don't think it's this season, but there's going to be a day where no longer can you count on him for 1,000 yards. Fortunately, you're not there yet.
And you have to prepare for it.
You better be set up, though, in the next year to 2 years, whether it's Sky Moore, a guy that's not even on the roster, they go and spend money on next year, a draft. Maybe they love what they see from Juju and it's him. Like, they have to make sure that they set themselves up with the weapons for the future. But right now, it buys them a year because they still have Travis Kelce playing at this level, Hall of Fame level, and they can add, and we're going to talk more about the rest of the wide receiver group in the noon hour when it comes to what Patrick Mahomes had to say on balancing it out, how it's not just going to be one guy.
But my question is, because none of us are alluding to the idea that Travis Kelce is not one of the elite pass catchers in the NFL, but I think for the longest time under Patrick Mahomes, the value in Hill and Kelce was elevated by the fact that they were on the field at the same time as one another. So I'm just, that's the question that I don't have the answer to, and I'm not alluding to anything, but I just wonder what it's going to look like now that defenses don't ever have to go into a game saying, how are we going to stop both of these guys? Now, Kelsey's going to be the number one thing that opposing defenses are going to stop week 1 through 18.
Sure. And that's where Andy Reid, and again, we'll get back into some of Mahomes' comments. That's where the idea that on a given week, you're not, you know, in their mind, this is their plan. We don't know if it's going to work, right? Their mind is, on a given week, Bink, you're not going to know who's that guy because they're going to change it up. They believe they have more of a balanced attack going forward. Again, balanced as in the wide receivers, not balanced as in they're going to run the ball more.
It's like the year the Chiefs went to Houston with Alex Smith and they beat the Texans 30-0. Next week, they had to go play the Patriots. And it was only Kelce because Macklin was banged up and it was only Travis Kelce. And that's who they took out. You know, he's averaged 99 catches the last 4 years. Things might be a little bit different because teams know he is by far and away the number one target. They couldn't concentrate too much on Kelce because then Tyreek Hill would burn him. Tyreek Hill ended up with 111 catches, a franchise record, because they couldn't concentrate everything on Travis Kelce. Now, MVS, Juju, Sky Moore, these guys need to step up. Whoever else makes his team, Justin Ross or Corey Coleman, Josh Gordon, whoever, you know, if the Chiefs get the five, keep five or go six wide receivers, they might just keep five. Are they going to step up and do it? Because, you know, like, I wouldn't be surprised if Kelce's numbers went down a lot. We might look at it like his numbers are going to go way up because he's number one target.
Well, I don't think they're going up.
He's also going to get the number one attention of anybody on the street. He's the only one that scares anybody, to be quite honest with you. But you look at some of these, like Devontae Adams. Well, he's got Darren Waller on his team. Eventually, Patrick Mahomes, yes, they rebuilt the offensive line in front of him, but skill positions, especially wide receiver with Mahomes, Sky Moore is the only guy they've drafted to be a wide receiver to help Mahomes. Yes, they brought in free agents like they did Watkins back in the day and MVS and Juju, but the only one they've drafted, and they've drafted extremely well the last couple of years, is Sky Moore. Now, this was a draft that was loaded with wide receiver talent. They brought Sky Moore and said, all right, this is going to be our guy. This is who we're going to get. But there's two things they're going to have to get at some point. They have 10 picks next year.
Mm-hmm.
They've got to get the replacement for Kelce. You got to get that ball rolling. Sorry, Nick, but Jody Fortson's not the answer. Blake Bell's not the answer. Noah Gray's not the answer. Somebody
What's this about? Why are you dragging?
He just took a shot at Jody Fortson.
You just signed a 1-year contract. It's a big day for him. And
1-year contract.
To prove it here.
Okay. But you know what I'm saying?
Do you think they still like Noah Gray? Because he barely was used last year.
Yeah, I thought he'd at least get 15 catches. I lost a bit to see that on that one. So
that sounds like a no.
No, I'm not. I mean, no. But they've got to address that. And whether the wide receiver, if they go the free agent route again next year, but eventually they've got to get the weapons, because you look at all these other guys, they have elite quarterbacks, have an elite receiver. And I know the old argument's priority, someone's probably texting the wrong text line number.
913-586.
586. The priority texting it. Well, good quarterbacks don't need it. Well, that's not true.
No, because they don't, but
you say, oh, Peyton Manning made everybody look good. Yeah, Jacob Tammy looked good. Brandon Stokely looked good. That's all true. But let's not forget Marvin Harrison, who wears the jacket in Canton, Ohio, and Reggie Wayne, who will get to the Hall of Fame. Two Hall of Fame receivers in Indianapolis for Peyton Manning. Yeah, he made other players look good, but he also had Hall of Famers to throw the football to.
And Mahomes does. And he has a Hall of Fame tight end.
He does. But going forward, you got to be thinking of the future and going forward. I just think, you know, they spent last year on the offensive line.
Yep.
Or 2 years ago on the offensive line. This past year is about the defensive backfield. I think there will be a concentrated effort to load up on tight ends and wide receiver in the near future, because it's got to be. Those have got to be priorities for the Chiefs.
Long term, I'm with you. I'm 100% with you. There's going to be a day, as I've said, like about Travis Kelce. There's going to be a day where he's not the same guy. And so you need to make sure you have a plan in place. No matter what Sky Moore looks like this year, even if Sky Moore has a great year, and by the way, a great year for him would still be 900 yards. I would sign up for that right now from Sky Moore. If he does that next year, Bink, I think you absolutely spend another high pick on a wide receiver, or go spend some money on a premium free agent wide receiver. That, to me, almost no matter what happens this year, that should still be in play for Kansas City. For this year, though, I don't look at it and say, oh man, how can Mahomes get it done? He only has Travis Kelce. We go back to Tom Brady in New England. I know at one point in time he had Randy Moss for 1 year. They did not win a Super Bowl with Randy Moss, but they had Randy Moss. Overall, though, guess who he always had, though? He had Gronk. Yep. Mahomes so far always has Kelce. That's why you were able to do the trade for Tyreek Hill. It still buys you an extra year or so to figure out your long-term options at wide receiver, because while you still have Kelce. If Kelce's out of the picture, then we're having completely different conversation about what they needed to do at wide receiver this offseason, even more than what we already thought they needed to do.
But that's what we're about to find out. Like, what you just said is the wide receiver room for Brady was constantly in flux, but he always had that one steady constant. We're about to find out if Mahomes is of that ilk. If that's enough for him. If you can get by with, okay, you got the great tight end, but can you get by for a season without having an elite wide receiver? Because Juju may be better than what we saw the last couple of years in Pittsburgh. I don't think anybody's confusing him for a legit number one receiver in the NFL. Because at no point in his career has he been that.
They wanted him last year to be with Tyreek Hill as an ancillary piece. Mm-hmm. Like this.
Yeah.
But Rich Eisen show, Brett Veach was on it, and this is something he says that I think all Chiefs fans should be extremely excited about, because right now they're dancing with what they have. But clearly they want more. Listen to this.
To entertain this trade, and when we realize that we can get multiple picks, a 1, 2, 4, 4, and a 6, that this would be a way to hit draft and receiver, throw a t- ton of resources on the defensive side of the football, and then also infuse money back into the cap, both in the short and long term, so that next year we can be a player in free agency. And so this route that we decided to take, it really opened up what we think are many avenues to improve the roster over the next few years.
Right there. So next year we can be a player in free agency. He's setting it up. We'll dance with what we got. We hope we can win with what we got.
Yeah.
There's clearly some other areas we'd like to expand. We weren't able to get some of the – what he's saying is we weren't able to get some of the things we wanted this year, but the way we've structured it now, we're taking a hit for it. We're rolling forward like they did last year, because I don't think that – they were not happy with their pass rush last year. That's why they tried to get Ingram before the season even started. They wanted that X receiver, didn't get him, so they decided to dance with what they got. And right now they're dancing with what they got. But when he said that, so next year we can be players in free agency, that should be music to everybody's ears, because I remember free agency this year, it was like, what are the Chiefs doing? What are the Chiefs doing? No, the Chiefs doing. Salary cap's a myth. No, the salary cap's not a myth, because it did hit the Chiefs. But the bottom line is he's got that money to spread next year. That right there should give you some optimism.
Yeah, they're going to hopefully be in a spot to roll some money over. They also did not mess with Mahomes' contract this year. You know, there was a lot of thought that maybe they would have freed up more caps, but they didn't. So that gives them some potential more flexibility.
More ammo
for next
year. And then when they get to Orlando Brown to a long-term contract, that's another thing you massage and extend it out over years.
Yeah, and they're banking on being in a better spot for 23 to 27 or 26 versus risking it all for 2022.
Next year could be a really, really fun offseason for the Chiefs. I mean, this was fine, but it was Juju and MVS and Justin Reed and stuff. You're talking top talent, what they could maybe possibly get. If it doesn't work out, like if Sky Moore doesn't work out.
See, I don't
and,
see,
and
honestly.
Juju's gone, they've got to address this.
I think even if Sky Moore turns out to be the real deal right away, even if he does, Bink, I still am going in either free agency or a high pick, and I'm taking another wide receiver. Because McCall Harmon's in a contract year. Juju Smith-Schuster's in a contract year. MVS isn't, but they could get out of it if they wanted to. So, like, even if Sky Moore has a great rookie year, like, you're not done at wide receiver unless you're going to sign Juju. Let's say Juju has a great year, and he's a guy you're willing to give the long-term deal to. Otherwise, you need to go draft another one again or go and spend money in free agency. That I think will be in the same spot next year talking about wide receiver, even if Sky Moore has a good year, except it'll be about elevating it even more. Like, if Sky Moore has a good year, that'll be your known commodity, hopefully, but you're still going to need to go out and find some more talent. We'll talk more wide receivers and what Patrick Mahomes had to say about the balance and the depth and the wide receiver room coming up in the noon hour as well. It is the Chiefs Red Half Hour here on Cody and Gold. So defensively, though, where's your optimism with that? Because CBS Sports was going through and they were ranking defenses that are most likely to crack the top 10. And look, I've been optimistic about the defense in the past. I think last year I said best case scenario going in, they would have been top 10. Cody said they were going to be the worst defense in football. They ended up, what, like 19th or 21st. So we were both optimistic or pessimistic or optimistic. Can they be a top 10 defense? No, not happening. Top 15, they weren't as far off from that. Again, we're talking points per game here, not everything else. Points per game.
It's the only thing that matters.
Yeah, I think they're probably going to be in that 17 to 18 range again.
Well, I love all the all the defensive players who decided not to show up to OTAs this week. It's great.
It's great.
It's voluntary.
Chris Jones.
It's voluntary.
Frank Clark. You know, Frank Clark's got his fat payday. He's got money in the bank, and you know, not like he has anything to prove other than the fact that he hasn't produced at all in the regular season in a Chiefs uniform. Oh, Juan Thornhill. We're not talking about Juan Thornhill enough. Oh, is Juan Thornhill, is he underappreciated? How about you show your ass up to OTAs?
Well, there were some moments last year in the preseason.
Travis Kelce's got money in the bank, is the best tight end maybe of all time. He's showing up to OTAs.
He's different. He's different than everybody else. He's rare.
Put a picture of Kelce on the front door with something, the sign that says, be this guy. Like, be this guy.
And be this guy. And then next to it says, don't be this guy, in a picture of Frank Clark.
Yeah, don't be this guy and be this guy.
Are you kidding me, dude?
The one out of the
Frank
entire...
Frank Clark is an absolute joke. He is an absolute joke. How much money have the Chiefs given him for him to do absolutely nothing? They bring you back for another year just so you can stay relevant. Like, honestly, if you're anywhere else in the NFL, you're not even playing. The Chiefs bring you back because they got no other options. You can't even show your ass up to OTAs. What an absolute joke. And he's going to end up starting.
Yeah,
he's going to end up starting for this team.
He's not the one that even bugs me more. It's the Juan Thornhill one, because whether it's the talk of being underappreciated, whether it's any time the Chiefs signed a safety this offseason, Justin Reed or anybody else, he would always kind of, like the same day, like we can read between the lines, there's cryptic tweets that were sent as if you didn't, you know, he noticed Justin Reed got a big deal. Yeah. Like, if that's the thing, like, yeah, he's the one actually that bugs me
and
more.
And who
that's
was there,
there?
Who was the other guy but that was rest, there yesterday? Justin Reed
right.
The, was there yesterday.
It is voluntary and all that, but the Thornhill one's worse than the Frank Clark one. The Frank Clark one, I get the scorched earth mentality is what we were going with there. But I will say, everything you said is correct, except I'll never say it was the worst thing the Chiefs ever did because he helped them win a Super Bowl. That was
no,
the goal.
No, I didn't
of it.
Say it was
so,
the
like,
worst thing they ever
so,
did.
So, like, that's all. Like, there's a balance of, like, obviously he has not contributed. Nobody should count on a damn thing from him here in 2022.
Yeah, I mean, he's a joke, and as is one Thornhill, but, oh, yeah, but oh, give me some more respect.
No, he's got to show
give me
a
some
leader.
More respect. I'm not going to put in the extra work in the offseason. Oh, and I was pissed when you guys didn't play me enough last year. Oh, and I can't believe you guys signed Justin Reed. But
the
then
Thornhill
when you
way
like, want to go out and prove yourself, what are you doing? Sitting on your ass? You on vacation?
Yeah, it's way worse for Thornhill. He's on a last year of his contract on his rookie deal, as a matter of fact, and he's got a great opportunity with Tyrann Mathieu not there to step up. And you know he was
and
working
what
with
makes
the three
you think
strings.
He will.
He was working with the third stringers at training camp a year ago. That's the one if you're going to really nitpick. On that, I was called for Nick. I'm just calling Nick Pick. We're gonna call it Nick Pick.
Well, he's got to stand up. He's Thornhill's got
in 2022.
Nick Pick.
Thornhill has to stand up and be a leader on this defense. He's got to prove himself. Last year, he found himself running with the threes there for a while. That should have been a little bit of a wake up call for him. And they draft two safeties in this year's draft. That should be a warning sign. Like, hey,
is he even
going to
play this
do?
Year? Honestly,
yeah, like, I think he
we
will,
keep
yeah.
doing this. We keep doing this with two guys, one Thornhill, and to a lesser extent, Willie Gay Jr., who actually like has
he's
proven
playing.
To be
he's
a
playing.
Good player.
Yeah.
But one Thornhill, we keep saying like, oh, maybe this will be the year. Like, maybe he'll have a break. The writing's on the wall. You brought in Justin Reed, as you just said. You drafted Cook out of Cincinnati, and I can't remember the other guy's name.
They
are
brought
we,
in. They brought
we
in.
Are sure that like Juan Thornhill is in line for a Bush. Bigger role this year?
Well, I just thought the Chiefs defense finished last year in 8th in points allowed, 27th in total defense. So they were far behind that. But I actually like a lot of the pieces because I think it starts a lot with that linebacker core. Nick Bolton. And then, of course, with Nick Bolton
Willie
in
Gay.
The middle, Willie Gay at will. And then Leo Chenal working some at the Sam linebacker. I just think that they have a lot of potential. And not only that, when you go into the nickel, you take Chenal out. But I think Chenal can bring you that, you know, blitzing from the outside as well, too, because he had 8 sacks last year with Wisconsin. But I think stopping the run will be really important for the Chiefs. Not only that, I think they'll get some breathers. I think the Chiefs' offense will move the ball at a just maybe a little bit different pace, not be vertical
we saw
all the
that
time.
We saw that at times last year, though. We remember one of the talking points was, you know, the Chiefs are having longer drives. I mean, last year there was a point in time where we were saying, man, the Chiefs are having a lot longer drives play-wise than they had. Like, is it that much of a change? Because there were plenty of games last year where the Chiefs were dragging out drives a lot longer, and the defenses were forcing them to have longer 10-plus play drives instead of the quick 4-play strike
for a touchdown.
Which
is funny because the Chiefs ended up number one in the NFL in points per drive.
Yeah.
So they still, points per drive, they were still number one, which is incredible. But no, they're not giving the Chiefs defense any respect. I will tell you this. They did give you hope from like weeks 8 up until that Bengals game. Well, let's go back a week before that Bills game too. They gave up everything. But there was some time there they showed flashes. And they showed they can be good, but the points per game thing is huge, and they were 8th in points against last year. I just like some of the younger, hungrier pieces the Chiefs have on defense. I know that pass rush can still be an issue, but I really like Karloftis. I like the energy he brings. I like the chip on the shoulder that he brings on the defensive line. I think Turk Wharton gives you something flashing. I like the rotation with Nadi on the defensive line. Chris Jones, that push in the middle. I think especially because of the linebacker core in the secondary, this has a chance to be a better defense than we've seen in the past. Not top 10 worthy, which doesn't matter. Just be top 10 in points against. And they were last year.
You don't have as much top-end talent as you had a year ago, just simply by the removal of your number two cornerback and your number one safety.
But the one thing
There's a chance that McDuffie can be Ward pretty quick.
Ward turned into it.
You think this year?
I think McDuffie could be Ward pretty quick.
We're talking. Charvarius Ward took a while too. He's an undrafted guy. Went to the Cowboys. It took Ward a little while, but I like I like Trent McDuffie's potential a hell of a lot more than Charvarius Ward. Got younger at safety. Get rid of Tyrann Mathieu, and you got a younger safety, and you have somebody that's not always mad every single play and raising his arms in the air because they gave up a touchdown, and that doesn't help anything.
The part that we can go through each unit, but like just from a specific mentality of the defense, the part where I'll agree with you on where they're better, because I don't think there's a ton of areas, would just be they should be a quicker and far more physical defense than what we've seen in a while. Now, does that equate to them flat out being better? You would think. But we'll see. Like, for what the guys they brought in, it was clear the type of players they brought in. Younger, more athletic, and more
physical.
Chip
on the shoulder.
Yeah. Whether it's Clark, whether it is Leo Chenault. Like, those guys aren't afraid.
Cook, hitter.
That's what I meant when I said Clark. Yeah,
they're
all
hitters.
Yeah, they're not afraid to go up and hit somebody. So that's different than what they've had. We'll find out if different actually equates to more success, though, on the defense heading in to this
season. The last 2 years has been a draft, whether offensive line or the defensive players, they drafted nasty, man. They drafted chip on the shoulder. They didn't draft, you know, nice guys, you know, that are going to come out. They're going to be technicians. No, they've got people that want to thump you. And they brought offensive line in that want to bury you. Creed Humphrey wants to put you in the ground. Trey Smith wants to put you in the ground. Darian Kennard wants to put you in the ground. I think the Chiefs last two drafts got a lot more physical, got a lot tougher. The whole finesse and soft and stuff like that went out the window.
Up next, we'll get to what's trending in the noon hour and what Patrick Mahomes had to say across the board about this wide receiver group. And I think it tells you exactly what Andy Reid's been asking him to do.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2. Listen live or on demand right from your phone with the Odyssey app. 610 Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.